All right, good afternoon and welcome. It's the Dennis Stucky Show on a Friday where we go until 4:30 today, and then it's the Mark D'Antonio Show, followed by This Week in College Football, followed by the Tigers and the Indians, but that's so disinteresting that you'll want to switch it over to WPHM.net. Oh, they lost to the Twins. Stick a fork in them.
Stick a fork in them.
So WPHM.net tonight to catch the Marysville Marine City High School football game, which is brought to you by your local McDonald's, Lens Pool and Spa, Subway of Marysville, Blue Water Area Transit, and the Linwood Bar. Matt Sheehan from the Times Herald joins us on a Friday as we talk high school football. Very special guest in the studio, Mark Brochu, is here. Many of you know Mark with his work with the county, but we know Mark because he's the head of the Officials Association here in St. Clair County. And you guys do more than just football, correct?
Our association represents soccer officials, football, softball, and baseball.
All right, outstanding. And we're going to talk a little bit about the differences between high school football and college and pro, because a lot of times stuff will happen in a high school football game, and the officials will make a call, and parents in the stands will start screaming, "He was outside the tackle box!" Well, the rules that you see on Saturday and Sunday on TV aren't necessarily the same rules for high school football. Let's kind of talk about some of the differences. I'm going to start with something that I've been asked before and I didn't know the answer to. And that is, when a game goes to overtime in high school football, can the defense score to win the game?
No.
They cannot. So if I intercept a pass, the play is dead. Dead ball right there.
Right.
Can't pick up a fumble. It's just a dead ball.
Correct.
So, see, I didn't know that.
I think there's one exception. The only possible way is if, for instance, the offense were to retreat the length of the football field into their own end zone and then get tackled. Then I think they can get 2 points for a safety, but they cannot gain the ball and then go down and score.
Now, if something like that were to happen, that would be the craziest play maybe of all time. So it's not like pro or college too on extra points. If they block the kick or intercept a pass on a 2-point conversion, they can run it back and get 2 points. You can't do that in high school.
You can't. And we all talked about it after the Texas game when we saw
of course.
Which is exciting play, but you can't do that in high school.
All right. I'm just going to kind of jump around here, Mark. I have a list of them, and Matt, if you think of something.
For sure.
Because these are all things that kind of come up in games, and I'm always not sure myself. All right. In the NFL, if a defender enters the neutral zone, they can still snap the ball, run a play, and accept or take the penalty. But I see in high school, as soon as the guy is in the neutral zone, you guys are throwing the flags, plays dead at that point,
right?
Correct?
That is a dead ball penalty in high school.
Now, does that go both ways too? If an offensive player is in the neutral zone, you just stop the play right there?
Yes.
So there's no kind of like free play?
No, there's no free play.
Okay. Is there ever a situation where there is a free play?
Well, if there's a penalty that happens simultaneous with the snap, like illegal motion, illegal shift, those are in sense a free play, but
more so for the defense than the offense. The defense can intercept.
Well,
the ball.
Yeah, I guess
the
so. That's right.
Yeah, get a free play.
Those are all going to be against the offense. So I guess there isn't a free play.
Yeah. Okay. It's not intentional grounding in pro or college if the quarterback's outside the tackle box. That's not necessarily the case in high school football.
There is no tackle box in the grass or any of these other permutations in high school. If he throws the ball to intentionally not complete a pass, in high school rules, it's supposed to be intentional grounding.
Now, the rules for pass interference are much different in high school than in college.
Yes, and that's
pro.
The one you hear the announcers make the mistake at the stadiums all the time. A couple years back, the high school federation decided that the penalties for pass interference were too severe. So what was once where if it was offensive pass interference, it would be a loss of down. That is not the case anymore. And on defensive pass interference, it used to be automatic first down like all the other levels, and they took that away. So it's just assessed as a regular penalty. There's no automatic down loss or first down and pass interference in high school.
So it's a 15-yard penalty, so if you needed less than that, you'll get the first down.
Right.
But if it's fourth and 30, it's just going to make it fourth and 15.
Right. And that's where you have the stadium announcer making an announcement, automatic first down, and just yeah. So happens the 15 yards gets them the first down anyway.
Now, in high school, there's no such thing as an uncatchable pass. If he interferes with him, he's interfered with him, whether the ball lands 50 yards away or right next to them.
That is correct.
And that's one that I always hear parents, that was uncatchable.
Yeah.
That rule.
At least once a game. Yeah, yeah. Right.
Now, a lot of the rules changes happen at the higher levels and then filter down. One that for years was a difference is if the defender pushed the receiver with the ball out of bounds, the official was allowed to make a judgment whether he would have come down in bounds without that. Mm. And thank goodness they just changed it several years back that if he lands out of bounds by whatever reason, it's not a catch. So
okay. Am I correct too? There doesn't necessarily have to be contact for you to call pass interference.
Well, the big one is face guarding. I think in college there has to be some kind of contact, but in high school, if the defender is trying to block the vision or distract the receiver with his back to the ball, if they're not playing the ball, then that is pass interference.
Because that is one that I saw recently, and boy, were the stands just going nuts because there wasn't any contact, but the player was right up in the other guy's face, and everybody thought, that's good defense, right. But technically, by the rules of high school, the officials made the right call.
Yeah, and more and more gray area because the kids watch it on Saturday and Sunday of all these hand fights between receiver and defender. It's pass interference, not touching. You know, sometimes a parent thinks if the defender touches their receiver, that's automatically pass interference. You know, if we start going that to the nth degree, the games would last forever.
Seriously. Yeah.
Now, in the higher levels, it's 5 yards off the ball, you're allowed to block the receiver. It's different in high school, correct?
In high school, the criteria is when the receiver makes it clear they're not a blocker and are running a route, you cannot chuck him. But if he comes up straight in your face, for that instant, you don't know if he's a blocker or a receiver. You have the right to kind of, make some kind of contact. But once he tries to get away from you, you got to let him go. Or if he immediately off the line diagonals away from the defensive backup on the line, he's made it clear that I'm a receiver and he's not supposed to be contacted.
In a case like that, because that's a situation where the official watching the play has to decide in his mind what the intention was, right? Because there's no cut and dry thing.
Right. And it's a similar circumstance as when you have a quarterback running an option play and then carries out his fake. You know, they always have coaches screaming that, well, he's beating up my quarterback. He doesn't have the ball. Well, you got to look and see whether that defensive lineman or linebacker knows he has the ball or doesn't have the ball. So when I've had quarterbacks complaining about that, I tell them, make sure your hands are out and it's clear that you don't have the ball if you don't want to get hit. But if you're carrying any kind of even a half-hearted fake, then you're not going to penalize the defender for doing his assignment, which is always cover the quarterback.
About, four times a quarter in an NFL game, you hear defensive holding, 5 yards, automatic first down. What's the high school rule?
Holding, it's always the result of the yardage. It's whether you've passed a yard to gain after the enforcement of the penalty. The only automatic first downs are the roughings, roughing the passer, roughing the holder, roughing the snapper, roughing the punter. Those are the only automatic first downs.
With the punter too, in recent years you see a lot of the rugby style where he'll catch the ball, he'll kind of run a little bit and then kick it. And I've seen where the guy is running and he goes to kick it and people complain that because he ran, you should be able to hit him and do whatever you want to him. But again, that's not the rule, is it? The punter is protected regardless of him running around.
No, well, it's again, you just got to make it clear to the defender what you are. If you are made it clear to them that you're kicking the ball, you're a punter, then you're afforded protection. If you start running, you put yourself in a huge gray area where the official is forced to make that judgment of whether or not it was reasonable for the defender to know that you're going to kick the ball and have an opportunity to pull off.
What about the old tackle eligible play out? You always hear college football, pro football, number 50 is reported eligible. You don't really have that rule in high school football, do you?
Yes and no.
Okay.
No, in the varsity level, in that you had to adhere to the numbering for player positions, in which case to be eligible as a receiver in high school, you have to have 80 or above, or 49 and below to be eligible. The exception to that is a long snapper for kicks and field goals can violate that number, where you're supposed to have five interior linemen on the line numbers. That's the one exception. If you're coming in and setting up in kick formation, that long snapper can be a different number.
Okay. So if the coach gives me jersey 50 through 79,
you're not catching the ball.
I'm not catching any passes.
Not a lot of fantasy points.
Now I said it's both ways. In freshman, middle school freshman and JV, where sometimes they have enough hard time just getting everybody a jersey that fits, the numbering rules are relaxed unless you think it's unsportsmanlike circumstance. But so freshman to JV and middle school, you could have any numbers. It's tough enough to officiate with three players or three officials or in the lower levels, if you don't do the numbering, you're just making the official's job that much harder because you aren't tracking. And in a seven-man football game, which I worked to last year, you have individual officials assigned to individual receivers, and it's very clear, and it's really nice to work that system. But in a five-man or a four-man crew, you don't have that luxury. You're just covering a lot of area. So
I don't think I've ever seen this one in a game. But the field goal is much different at the high school level than at college or pro if you miss it. It's more like a punt if the ball doesn't get to the end zone, correct?
It is exactly like a punt. Now, in high school, when a free kick, either a kick or a punt, breaks the plane of the goal line, the play is over. Now, for the purpose of an extra point or a PAT, you still have the chance of scoring, even though technically the play has ended, the ball still has a chance to go in. So if a field goal kick does not break the plane, it's a live ball and treated, like you said, just like a punt.
So the defense or the team that didn't kick the ball can pick it up and run with it, and the team that kicked the ball can go down and down it, say, inside the five, if it's a short kick. And so you don't necessarily get the ball back from where it was kicked.
Right, right. And it's, you hear that. Well, shouldn't even though they tried from the 25, you shouldn't know it goes out. If it goes in the end zone, it's automatically 20-yard line.
Oh, I think that's kind of a cool rule, and I wish it would play more in the game.
Yeah, for sure. I don't even know if every coach would know that rule, to be honest. I mean, that's a unique one.
Yeah, you don't see many of the kicking team even going downfield after after the attempt.
And as you have already mentioned, you can't run the ball out of the end zone on a kickoff or a punt. Once it goes in, play's dead.
Right.
And I think that's more of a safety thing, right?
I don't know. It makes it safer, I think.
Yeah.
I don't know what the rules committee's intentions were, but it's simpler that way.
All right. We're talking about free plays. Okay. The defense commits a foul during a play, and the team scores a touchdown. Everybody will start shouting, decline the penalty.
Well, you had our rules meeting. We had an association rules meeting on Monday, and we went over just a lot of these same things. You were there in the room hitting it?
I was not. I had to research a lot of this stuff because I know that there were a lot of rules that just aren't the same. But the offense doesn't have to decline that penalty because you can enforce it.
I've done it for 40 years now. I don't know when they change. I've seen a lot of changes over that time. But maybe 3 to 5 years ago, they changed that because basically you were giving defense free shots at the offense when there's a scoring play. So, no, you're absolutely right. Now, on a scoring play, the scoring team has the right of accepting the touchdown and the penalty. And on the penalty, they can choose to have it enforced at the point after or on the ensuing kickoff. Okay. So, you know.
Explain the momentum rule, if you can.
Well, if it's in the inside the 5-yard line, and I'm not a back judge, so I'll have to plead a little fuzziness here. But if on you gain the ball and the momentum and direction you're going is kind of similar to the punt, and you end up getting tackled in the end zone, you're not liable for that. You're given the spot where you initiated the catch.
And I only brought that one up, and I know that nobody in this room saw the play between Armada and Yale, and I don't think it was one of your officiating crews that even worked that game. But we had a situation where a ball was intercepted on the last play outside the end zone, and then the player was tackled in the end zone. Now, I don't know if he caught it and ran back there or if in the process of the catch he was carried back in. But if it's the second in the process of the catch he's carried in, then that would be a touchback, correct?
Well, it would be where he instituted the catch.
Okay, but the play would be dead, and they would have been given the ball, say, at the 2-yard line.
Yeah.
As opposed to, I catch it, I establish that I've caught it in the field of play, and then I'm a knucklehead and I run back in the end zone and get tackled.
Yeah, and that's the one you see with – the one you hear the screaming a lot where the defensive back makes the interception in the end zone and then tries to run out and gets tackled. Well, no, it's a touchback if he doesn't get out of the end zone.
Yeah.
Because the offense put the ball in the end zone. Even if he's trying to get it out mistakenly, he is given the touchback.
And high school's unique because we do, unfortunately, sometimes have mismatches, and there's the mercy rule. Explain to me when it is a running clock.
50-point differential. No, wait. What was the question again?
There's two running clocks.
35 is when you do. It's the acronym is TIPS: timeouts, injury, penalty, score. The clock stops for those. Everything else is running. And 50 points or more, it runs. You just run it.
Oh. Okay. So we got that. I have to ask this too. I think it's more confusing for basketball officials when you're on the court and the volleyball court and the basketball court are the same court and there's lines everywhere. But some of our fields in the area do have the soccer field on the football field. Does it ever get confusing with the soccer lines on the field? Could you ever see a situation where a mistake could happen? And then if you realize the mistake has happened, what's the protocol?
Well, they do a really good job of lining fields. Just the quality of field maintenance over the last 10 years is just light years above, and they do a great job of marking. Usually there is a different color, and most of the time I believe soccer is always gold-colored lines. So I haven't seen much, but there is sometimes confusion on lines. We had a play long time ago where the umpire saw the ball carrier cross over the 3-yard line marked really wide and threw up his hands for a touchdown. Well, it wasn't. And unfortunately, it was treated as an inadvertent whistle because there was a live ball and he was past the line. We gave him they got the play over, and then unfortunately fumbled on the very next play and lost the ball the very next play. You talk about a devastated umpire, but... there's not too much confusion with the lines.
All right, good stuff.
We lost a game like that with the lines in JV football my sophomore year. They still talk about it on ESPN today. I'm sure you hear about it all the time. But, yeah, the receiver's foot was outside the soccer but inside the football. But, I mean, it's JV, come on. Everyone lived to see the next day, so it's fine. But, yeah, that's got to be hard, though.
I didn't even get into 8-man football and what the difference is.
Oh, goodness gracious.
Maybe we can do that for another show.
For a 6-hour-long show.
There's one other differential between varsity and the lower levels, and that's timing. And this has changed a couple years ago, where on a varsity game, when there is a change of possession, the clock stays stopped until the ball is snapped. In freshman and JV and middle school, a few years back, they allowed schools to go longer quarters but eliminated that. So as soon as the change of possession, if the ball wasn't out of bounds, the referee is going to start the clock as soon as the ball is ready for play. And you were seeing time and time again that a lot of time was wasted. And so that was a good circumstance. But the, you know, the untimed down rule, you know, was changed. It used to be a lot of scenarios where you had the end. But, you know, that's one was intended to speed up the game because you'd have a penalty and you say, no, we got everybody's running down the other end, and the officials that know the rules are calling everybody back to say, no, we got to do the end time down. It's unfortunate with the one scenario with the Central Michigan game where, talking before, the offense intentionally made a penalty, and under the rule, they should have been rewarded by not giving the Central Michigan a chance. So I wouldn't be surprised if the rule makers kind of look at that. Because if it had been anything other than fourth down, then they would have been punished appropriately. Yeah. But because it was the fourth down and would have prevented the other team from having their one play. So it'll be interesting. The rules makers have a lot of interesting discussions, I'm sure.
Yeah. I think the key thing to remember is that we're all human.
Oh, yeah.
And that the officials had to go to work before they came out to the game, so they've had a long day. Sometimes mistakes are made, but I would think that 90% of the time or better, the guys out there know the rules, know what they're doing, and they got it right.
Yeah.
And us people up in the stands, we need to learn the rules a little bit better before we start yelling.
It's a good PSA.
And nobody feels worse than an official that makes a mistake. The intention for people in striped shirts when they go on the field is to have the contest proceed fairly and not to have an impact on the game. So, yeah, sometimes honest mistakes happen, but most of the time we hope to get it right. And the big thing, I think, is when that crew comes on the field, they really don't have an allegiance to either side. So there's no emotional attachment. They're just trying to get it right and have the kids have a safe game and a fair game.
All right, good stuff. Mark, thanks a lot. We'll have to have you on again sometime because there's a lot of stuff to talk about.
You're welcome. It was a pleasure.
All right. Absolutely. Good talking to you.
Mark Brochu, and we'll take a break, and Matt and I will take a look at some of the big games because there's only about a half dozen of them this week going on in week four already.
That's nuts.
All right, we'll be back.